Greetings, and welcome to the Oncocyte Corporation third quarter conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Bob Yedid. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Stacy, and thank you everyone for joining this afternoon's conference call to discuss Oncocyte's third quarter 2018 financial results and recent operating highlights. If you have not seen today's financial results press release, please visit Oncocyte's website at www.oncocyte.com. Before turning the call to William Innes, Oncocyte's President and Chief Executive Officer, I'd like to remind you that during this conference call, the company will make projections and forward-looking statements regarding future events. Any statements that are not historical fact, including, but not limited to, statements that contain words such as will, believes, plans, anticipates, expects, estimates, and similar expressions, are forward-looking statements. We encourage you to review the company's SEC filings, including without limitation, the company Forms 10-K and 10-Qs, which identify specific risk factors that may cause actual results or events to differ materially from those described in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, without limitation, risks inherent in the development and/or the commercialization of potential diagnostic tests, uncertainty in the results of clinical trials or regulatory approvals, the capacity of Oncocyte's third-party supply blood sample analytics system to provide consistent and precise analytical results on a commercial scale, the need to obtain third-party reimbursement for patients' use of any diagnostic test the company commercializes, and our need and ability to obtain future capital and maintenance of IP rights. Therefore, actual outcomes and results may differ materially from what is expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements. Oncocyte expressly disclaims any intent or obligation to update these forward-looking statements, except as otherwise required under applicable law. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Bill, President and CEO. Bill, please go ahead.
Thanks, Bob, and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss our third quarter 2018 financial results and operating highlights. Joining me on today's call are Al Parker, Chief Operating Officer, Mitch Levine, Chief Financial Officer, and Lyndal Hesterberg, PhD, Senior Vice President of Research and Development. Al, Mitch, and Lyndal will be available during the question-and-answer session. For the past year, we've been acutely focused on getting the clinical development program of DetermaView, our lung cancer diagnostic test, back on track after we encountered issues last year with the reagents for the diagnostic testing platform that we had been using. Today, I'm pleased to say that we have taken a significant step forward with the successful transition to a different platform, an industry-standard next-generation sequencing, or NGS, diagnostic testing platform for targeted sequencing. Our selection of the new NGS platform follows months of rigorous testing, during which we evaluated four leading clinical diagnostic testing platforms for use with our DetermaView lung cancer assay. We anticipate that the use of the widely commercialized diagnostic platform that we have chosen will increase the likelihood that DetermaView will offer the consistent and robust results necessary for further product development and commercial success. We have now completed the transition to the new platform, including installation, training, and operational qualification. We have also completed incoming quality control testing of our new custom targeted sequencing panel reagents. As anticipated, the new platform is generating consistent and reproducible data among samples tested so far. We have also observed excellent reproducibility across multiple reagent lots and believe that the precision of our new NGS platform, may improve our test performance in a routine clinical testing environment. In addition, the use of the new NGS platform could allow for decentralized operations beyond Oncocyte's CLIA lab, potentially enabling development of a CE-marked kit product for distribution in Europe and other markets if Oncocyte's upcoming studies are successful. With those critical steps now behind us, we have initiated a 700 blood sample study that will develop the proprietary mathematical algorithm that will interpret the results of DetermaView assays. You may recall that we previously announced that we had identified and filed patents on about 230 new biomarkers in addition to the Wistar biomarkers that we were using in our original algorithm. All told, our new and in-licensed biomarkers give us a library of almost 800 biomarkers from which we plan to select the best combination to differentiate between benign and malignant lung nodules. The optimal combination and weighting of biomarkers in the algorithm will be determined through bioinformatics, combined with the latest algorithm development strategies that may include AI-related methods. During this important study, the proprietary algorithm will be cross-validated through the analysis of multiple clinical subsets of data within the 700 blood sample study to assess its performance. This next stage of our process should deliver an initial assessment of the accuracy of the DetermaView algorithm. As of today, we have run over half of the 700 blood samples that are being used in our algorithm development study. This study will establish the proprietary mathematical algorithm that will be used to interpret the test results for DetermaView. Once all 700 samples have been run, we will begin to develop the algorithm and expect to complete it next month. Once the algorithm development study has been completed, the next step will be an R&D validation study that will analyze approximately 250 blinded, prospectively collected patient samples to confirm test sensitivity and specificity in an R&D setting. This pivotal study is designed to determine the accuracy of DetermaView to within about plus or minus 8 percentage points, which should provide a strong indication of the test's potential commercial viability. By about the end of 2018 or early 2019, we anticipate completing this study, and we should then be able to confirm with a high degree of certainty whether we have a commercially viable test poised to address the potential multi-billion-dollar market for liquid biopsy lung cancer diagnostics. An extensive market survey of about 250 chest physicians conducted by an independent firm indicated that in order to prescribe DetermaView, these specialists will require a minimum of 85% sensitivity and 35% specificity. If data from our upcoming R&D validation study are similar to what we have seen in the past, then DetermaView should yield results that significantly exceed these targeted levels of accuracy. As a reminder, in a study reported in May 2017, at the American Thoracic Society 2017 International Conference, DetermaView demonstrated sensitivity of 95%, specificity of 73%, and area under the curve, or AUC, of 0.92, meaning that 92% of samples were correctly identified. Sensitivity and specificity are statistical measures of test performance, with sensitivity measuring the percentage of malignant nodules that are identified correctly by the test, and specificity measuring the percentage of benign nodules correctly identified. As we reported in July of this year, a separate 2018 study of DetermaView on approximately 155 blood samples resulted in accuracy at least equivalent to the 2017 DetermaView test results. Because the error bar, or potential range of results, from the small sample set in the 2018 study was wide, these results must now be confirmed in the larger 250-sample R&D validation study. So, in short, we will be able to confirm very soon whether we have a test that is poised to potentially advance the current paradigm in lung cancer diagnosis. It is worth noting that all clinical samples required for the R&D validation study and all of our other upcoming pre-commercialization studies are currently in-house, so we will be able to move quickly into this next phase of development. In the first half of 2019, we will initiate an analytical validation study to establish performance characteristics of the assay system, which will then be validated in our CLIA-certified laboratory. Assuming that these upcoming studies are successful, we will initiate a clinical validation study, which is the final study prior to making DetermaVue commercially available. We are also targeting completion of this important study in the first half of 2019. Successful completion will enable us to make DetermaVue commercially available during the second half of next year. This clinical validation study will analyze approximately 300 blinded, prospectively collected patient samples for final confirmation of test sensitivity and specificity in our CLIA lab setting. This pivotal study is designed to determine the accuracy of DetermaVue to within about plus or minus 5 percentage points. Again, with over 2,000 patient samples in-house and available for these development studies, we intend to move very efficiently and seamlessly from one study to the next. Let's turn now to commercialization and reimbursement. In terms of our commercialization approach, subject to the availability of capital, we plan to launch and promote DetermaVue independently in the U.S. with a relatively small, concentrated sales force and commercial team. We believe that this will be an attractive strategy because there is a relatively small number of chest physicians in the U.S., and a focused commercial team should be able to promote DetermaVue effectively. In addition, our commercial team will include separate teams providing patient support and market access liaison with Medicare and other payers. Of course, the key to success with any diagnostic test is broad payer reimbursement from both Medicare and private payers. To that end, in parallel with our commercialization efforts, we are already planning a clinical utility study that will take place after DetermaVue is launched. This will be a real-world evidence study, that is, a two-arm study that will follow real patients in a clinical setting to determine both clinical outcomes and elucidate the pharmacoeconomic benefits of our test. We want to measure how much the use of DetermaVue improves health outcomes for patients and lowers costs for the healthcare system. This 1 to 2 year study is being designed to give us and the payers the evidence needed to understand these benefits. In the meantime, we have previewed our intended use and clinical development plan with medical directors from 10 public and commercial health plans that, in the aggregate, cover 77 million lives. All of these plans recognize the large unmet medical need addressed by DetermaVue, and, subject to their consideration of our final scientific and clinical data, view the test favorably. This, together with the strong potential support that we continue to receive during our discussion with physicians, gives us confidence that if our studies are successful, DetermaVue will add significant value to all stakeholders, patients, physicians, and payers. At this point, let me take a step back for those who may be new to the story. DetermaVue is our confirmatory, non-invasive liquid biopsy test that we are developing to facilitate clinical decision-making in lung cancer diagnosis. DetermaVue is designed for use following a low-dose CT scan and before undergoing a tissue biopsy in at-risk patients where their scan shows evidence of a suspicious lung nodule. In short, DetermaVue's value proposition is to reduce the number of expensive and risky lung biopsies. Lung cancer is a very large market with equally large unmet medical needs. More Americans die of lung cancer than any other type of cancer. According to the American Cancer Society, last year there were approximately 234,000 new diagnoses and approximately 154,000 deaths from all cases in the U.S. attributed to lung cancer. This is largely due to the fact that lung cancer symptoms often don't emerge until the cancer has reached a more advanced stage, typically stage 4, and metastasized. In fact, lung cancer has one of the lowest 5-year survival rates after detection of any cancer type, highlighting the importance of early detection. So that's where we see ourselves in the market, as a confirmatory test to help physicians diagnose suspicious nodules and better identify the patients who could truly benefit from biopsy. Although lung biopsies are an important component of the lung cancer detection paradigm, they are both expensive and pose significant risks to patients. Past studies have concluded that up to 20% of lung biopsies result in serious complications and up to 1% result in death. In fact, since most lung nodules are benign, more lung biopsies result in complications than in discoveries of malignancies. DetermaVue may enable physicians to significantly reduce the number of unnecessary, invasive, and risky biopsies by giving the physician an analysis of whether lung nodules are likely to be malignant or benign. We believe that the widespread adoption of DetermaVue could drive a significant reduction in the number of unnecessary biopsies performed in the U.S. every year, with a corresponding reduction in the surgical risk to patients undergoing these invasive procedures. To give a sense of the impact that DetermaVue could have, there are estimated to be between 10 and 15 million people in the U.S. who are at high risk of developing lung cancer and who should have an annual LDCT or low-dose CT scan. Between 400,000 and 600,000 of these people will have nodules over 8 millimeters in size, and under the current standard of care would likely undergo biopsies. Another 600,000 to 800,000 people have nodules in the 5 to 8 millimeter range. Today, these people either would have biopsies or further screening. But if the DetermaVue test is used as an intermediate step prior to biopsy, a negative result would reclassify those patients back to low risk, thereby eliminating the need for a biopsy. If our DetermaVue test indicates a positive result, then the recommendation to the physician would be to continue with the standard of care, presumably a biopsy, as the appropriate next step to diagnose whether the nodule is malignant. Not only would DetermaVue benefit many patients by sparing them from an invasive and risky biopsy, but it would also result in significant savings to the healthcare system. A lung biopsy costs about $15,000 on average, including the cost of complications. So DetermaVue provides significant benefits to all key stakeholders in the care continuum, improved outcomes for patients and their physicians, and cost savings for payers. There's plenty to like about this innovative test, particularly when you consider that the potential total addressable market for confirmatory liquid biopsy lung cancer tests is estimated to be up to $4.7 billion in the U.S. alone. Furthermore, the new NGS platform that we are using could allow for decentralized operations beyond our CLIA lab, potentially paving the way for approval in the EU and other regions such as China. At this point, all of our focus as a team has been on advancing DetermaVue toward approval and commercialization in the U.S., but longer term, the opportunity does not stop here. At this point, I'd like to turn the call over to Mitch Levine for a review of the financials. Mitch?
Thanks, Bill, and good afternoon, everyone. At September 30th, 2018, we had $10.8 million of cash and cash equivalents and marketable securities valued at $830,000 for a total of $11.6 million of liquid assets. This cash balance includes the $3.3 million net of financing expenses that we raised in July as the result of a successful at-market registered direct offering of units, which are comprised of common stock and warrants. This offering was led by management and Oncocyte's board of directors and included an institutional investor new to our company. The financing provides us with additional resources to advance DetermaVue through the remaining development steps that must be completed prior to commercialization. The participation by management and members of the board reflects our confidence in our new diagnostic testing platform as the backbone of our ongoing DetermaVue development program, as well as the company's long-term growth prospects. For the third quarter of 2018, Oncocyte reported a net loss of $3.0 million, or 7 cents a share, compared to a net loss of $6.9 million, or 22 cents per share, for the third quarter of 2017. Operating expenses for the third quarter of 2018 were $3.0 million as reported and $2.6 million on an as-adjusted basis, which excludes certain non-cash operating expenses. We have provided a reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP operating expenses in the financial tables, including with our earnings release, which we believe is helpful in understanding our ongoing operating expenses. Cash used in operations was $2.5 million for the third quarter of 2018, which compares to cash used in operations of $3.5 million during the third quarter of 2017. The reduced cash used in operations in the current quarter, mostly resulting from our staff reductions and executive sabbatical programs we implemented last quarter. For the current third quarter, our average monthly use of cash in operations was about $833,000. During 2017, our average monthly use of cash was about $1.1 million. Cash, cash equivalents, and marketable securities enable us to maintain our core capabilities and complete the development of DetermaView as we continue to align our operating expenses with our primary goal of completing DetermaView, essential for creating long-term value for our shareholders. Research and development expenses for the third quarter of 2018 were $1.5 million compared to $1.8 million for the same period in 2017. General and administrative expenses for the third quarter were $1.3 million compared to $4.3 million for the comparable period in 2017, which was higher in the prior year period principally due to a $3.0 million non-cash expense related to the issuance of warrants to certain shareholders. We did not have any such similar charge for this quarter. That concludes my remarks concerning our financial results. And now I'll turn the call back to Bill.
Thanks, Mitch. Before opening the call up to your questions, we thought it'd be useful to reiterate the timeline of upcoming development activities. By the end of this year, or early 2019, we will report results from our R&D validation study. Again, this will gauge the test's accuracy to about plus or minus 8 percentage points. And while there are several additional development steps to complete prior to filing commercialization, the results of the R&D validation study will indicate whether we likely have a commercially viable test. This is very important data and a significant milestone for our company that we expect within the next few months. If successful, this will be followed in the first half of 2019 by analytical and CLIA validation studies. Our path to commercialization concludes with a clinical validation study to confirm product performance claims in an independent, blinded data set. Following commercialization, we plan to conduct a post-launch clinical utility study designed to demonstrate improved outcomes at a reduced cost to the healthcare system, a key step in securing payer reimbursement. We're excited about the progress that we're making in developing DetermaView and look forward to the completion of the near-term studies underway, which should provide visibility into the accuracy of our test by about the end of the year. If these studies and the studies we plan for the first half of 2019 are successful, we plan to make DetermaView commercially available in the second half of 2019. That completes our formal remarks. We are now open for questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from Paul Knight with Janney. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bill. That was a very well-prepared commentary. And congratulations on the NGS platform. Can you talk to the, I think you're talking about the, when you're talking the $4.2 or $4.7 billion market, I think that's lung RADs 3 and 4. Is that assuming that all of these patients are eligible? And then kind of really what I'm getting at is what portion of these lung RAD 3 and 4 are getting biopsies? So are you thinking the whole market is addressable, or are you thinking just the biopsy market is addressable?
Great. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, that's a great question. and it really is fundamental to understanding the market opportunity here. So if you look at the total addressable market, what we're talking about is the total potential of all tests. If everyone in the categories got screened and had follow-on procedures. You're also correct, Paul, that we are talking lung RADS 3 and 4, and lung RADS is a radiological classification system which is used by radiologists and pulmonologists to classify the risk of lung nodules. And basically, lung RADS 4 includes everyone who has a lung nodule of about 8 millimeters or larger. And lung RADS 3 is everyone who has lung nodules of about 5 to 8 millimeters. So today, the standard of care is for people in the lung RADS 4 category, the larger nodules. The vast majority of those people are going to go to biopsy. In lung RADS 3, the 5 to 8 millimeter nodules, there's a mix depending on the individual physician. Some physicians will send people on to biopsies in this category. Others will have watch and wait. They'll have more frequent screening of low-dose CT scans. And again, the numbers are there's approximately 400 to 600,000 people in the U.S. in lung RADS 4. With, you know, the 8 millimeter and larger, and there's another, you know, 800,000 or so in lung RADS 3. So in total, about 1.4 million in lung RADS 3 and 4. In order to get the total addressable market, you basically multiply that number by the assumed pricing of the test, which is in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. So that's the total addressable market. And I think, Paul, your question is really about what portions would be getting biopsies. That number of 1.4 million assumes that everybody in the U.S., the all, you know, 10 to 15 million Americans at high risk would go and get their annual lung screen. And that is certainly the standard of care. That's what is recommended today. But we're in a situation where not all of those people are getting their screens. There are various campaigns underway that are trying to get more screening, and we do anticipate, as does the rest of the medical industry, that the screens will increase fairly significantly over the coming years. So that large number is basically aspirational. We think ultimately that a pretty high percentage of those people will get their screens, the nodules will be discovered, and then, you know, they would be eligible for our test. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, very good. And then lastly, what portion of this population is Medicare? It seems like it probably is a big portion, and therefore we don't have to go through the arduous process of commercial payer like maybe other tests.
Right. Another great point. You know, lung disease, lung cancer, and lung nodules tend to be predominantly in an elderly population, generally over the age of 55 or 60. So Medicare will be a very high percentage. We believe that it will be in the vicinity probably of, you know, 55 to 60% of our revenue, perhaps more.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bruce Jackson with The Benchmark Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the progress, and to continue on the potential market discussion, what percentage of the people who are eligible to be screened today are actually being screened?
So, you know, we've been trying to get that information, and it is difficult to come by. and it is still probably fairly low. We've seen some estimates in the 15 or 20% range currently. We've also seen estimates that say that by the early 2020s, over the next 4 or 5 years, that that percentage could get up into the 60% or more. What we do know is that talking to key opinion leaders, they are saying that the number of screens is increasing very dramatically. Remember that this screening for this population is fairly new. It's only 3 years ago that it became officially part of the standard of care, and about just over 2 years ago that Medicare started paying for it. So there's general consensus in the among the profession, the pulmonologists and radiologists and so on, that the number of screens is increasing very quickly.
Okay, and then looking at the candidate markers, so the original group of markers they got from the Wistar Institute, those were, I believe those were all RNA markers, right? 568 RNA markers?
Yes, that's right.
And then you've got the new markers that you recently patented, and are those also RNA markers, or do they include other types of targets?
Yes, those are all mRNA or messenger RNA markers as well. And again, these are what we're seeing is the body's immunological response is what we're trying to capture with these markers.
And then are you testing all of those markers in your 700 sample algorithm development study?
So why don't I let Lyndall Hesterberg answer that question. Lyndall?
Sure. The quick answer is no, we are not testing all of those markers. We have evaluated in our prior smaller studies that we had disclosed that a number of the markers were providing much higher value. And so we're training our testing on the 700 sample set, the markers that are demonstrating the most value.
Okay, so it's a subset of the 800 roughly markers
correct.
That you had before. Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
And last question on the algorithm development: are you going to be looking at any physiological markers like nodule size for inclusion in the algorithm?
So we did say in our press release in July about the 155 patient study. That we, although a limited number of patients, 155, we did see results which were equal to or better than we had seen in the reported results in 2017, and where the 2017 results did include nodule size as a clinical factor, the 2018 study did not include clinical data, which is important. Now, however, as we said in our July release, we need to do a much larger sample size than 155, and that's why we're doing the larger studies now. Lyndall, do you have other thoughts about that?
No, I think you covered it well there, Bill.
All right, well, that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Ki Nakay with Chardan. Please go ahead.
Hi. Maybe a question for Lyndall, but is there anything about the nature or characteristics of the 700 patient samples in the R&D study that make it a particularly good, robust sample that will help you tease out the performance of the test?
Yeah, Lyndall?
Yes. Yes, in fact, there is a number of features about 700-patient sample that I think do make it particularly robust. To be specific, as you may recall, the clinical sample collections and studies that we've been doing now over 60 sites around the U.S., was intentionally designed to capture the U.S. demographic of lung cancer patients and the screening patients. So this is age, gender, ethnicity, as well as geographic diversity. And so we have put together what I believe to be a very representative and also robust sample set for the U.S. testing population. And from that set, then, we had consultants and others independently, from me at least in the development team, independently select what they thought were the most appropriate samples to include in the training with the full intention of it being as robust as we possibly can make it.
Okay, and just a second question. Once you have the results, is your plan to simply, you know, talk about the kind of the overall performance relative to prior tests, or how specific will you be with the performance characteristics, knowing that, you know, you often like to present that detail at scientific conferences?
Yeah, good question. We definitely, as you know, often some of the specifics are embargoed, if you want to present at medical conferences. And although you can usually say, at a high level, talk about the success or failure. Lyndall, any thoughts about R&D validation study results and what we can say?
Your point's quite taken, very accurate, unfortunately or fortunately, depends which way you look at it, but we do have to be careful and embargo specific information. I would expect, though, that we should be able to give general performance levels once we've seen the R&D validation results so that all of us can feel comfortable with the test performance.
So would that include being specific about sensitivity, specificity, and AUC?
I'm not sure about that yet. That isn't something that, we have discussed at this point and until we get the actual results. So we'll certainly, consider that very carefully when we give the results of that study.
Okay. Well, good. I appreciate why you would want to withhold some of that to be able to present at the conference, but obviously, again, knowing that this is how much better it possibly is than the prior is certainly an important data point as well.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Kay.
Thanks, Kay.
There are no further questions. I would like to turn the floor over to Bill Annett for closing comments.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for joining our call this afternoon. As I hope you can appreciate, based on our prepared remarks today, this is a very exciting time at OncoCyte. We have moved well past the platform issues that we encountered last year, and we are now moving forward with significant momentum in the development of our DetermaVue lung cancer diagnostic test for a potential multi-billion-dollar market. We look forward to providing you further updates on our next quarterly call.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation.